Chapter 23, The Fourth Personal Sojourn of Beelzebub on the Planet Earth. Beelzebub continued thus, I descended for the fourth time to that planet Earth at the request of my essence friend, Gurnahur Harhar. First of all, I must tell you that when I had become friendly with this Gurnahur Harhar, I would always, during our exchanges of subjective opinion, share with him my impressions about the strange psyche of the three-centered beings of that planet of yours. The result of these conversations was that he too became so interested in your favorites that he even, very seriously, asked me to keep him informed, if only in a general way, about my observations of them. And thereafter I sent him, just as I did to your Uncle Tuolan, copies of all my notes on the particularities of their psyche, and how Gurnahur Harhar came to be the cause of this descent of mine, I will now relate. As I've just told you, after my third descent to your planet, I occasionally, for a rest, ascended to the planet Saturn to see my friend. And during these visits, I became convinced of his great learning. One day, the idea came to me to invite him to descend to the planet Mars on our ship occasion, so that there on the spot he might give me the benefit of his knowledge concerning the details of setting up my observatory, which was just then being completed. Here let me emphasize that if this observatory later became famous and was in fact the best of all the installations of its kind in the whole universe, I am indebted chiefly to the learning of this essence friend of mine. Well then, when I suggested this to Gurnahur Harhar, without much hesitation he agreed, and at once we began considering how to carry out our intention. The problem was that the route from the planet Saturn to the planet Mars passed through cosmic spheres that did not correspond to the presence of Gurnahur Harhar, a being who had as yet only the possibilities for an ordinary planetary existence. The result of our deliberations was that on the following day his chief assistant began, under his direction, to arrange a special compartment in our ship occasion, and to equip it with every sort of apparatus for elaborating the substance that make up the atmosphere of the planet Saturn, to which the existence of Gurnahur Harhar was adapted by nature. One Kirkharku later, when all these preparations had been completed, we set out on our journey in the direction of the planet Mars, where we arrived safely at my house. And there on Mars, which has almost the same atmosphere as the planet Saturn, my essence friend became acclimated very quickly and began to exist almost as though on his own planet. It was during his stay on Mars that he devised the Tescuano, or telescope, thanks to which my observatory became so famous throughout the whole universe. The Tescuano he constructed is indeed a marvel of being reason. For, as I told you, it increases the visibility of remote cosmic concentrations 7,285 times, both during certain processes taking place in cosmic substances in the atmosphere surrounding almost all these concentrations, and during the processes which the cosmic ethereal undergoes in inter-atmospheric spaces. With this Tescuano, I was sometimes able to observe, from my house on Mars, almost everything taking place on those parts of the surface of other planets of that solar system, which, during the process of the general system movement, were at that moment within the field of vision of my observatory. Well, my dear boy, one day, while Gurnahur Harhar was staying with me as my guest, and we were observing together the existence of those favorites of yours, we happened to notice a fact which became the subject of a very serious exchange of opinions between us about the three-centered beings of your peculiar planet. The result of this exchange was that I undertook to descend to the surface of that planet and to bring back to the planet Saturn a number of the beings your favorites call apes, in order to carry out certain experiments with them and elucidate the fact that had astonished us. At this point in his narrative, Beelzebub was brought a Lydochondros, that is, a sort of metal plate on which is recorded the text of an etherogram received from somewhere or other, the addressee having only to hold the plate to his organ of auditory perception to hear everything contained in it. Having listened to the contents of the Lydochondros, Beelzebub turned to his grandson and said, "You see, my boy, what coincidences occur in our great universe. This etherogram refers to your favorites in connection with the ape beings I just mentioned. It was sent to me from Mars and informs me, among other things, that the three-centered beings of the planet Earth are once more troubled by the ape question. I must first tell you that on account of their abnormal being existence, there was long ago crystallized, and there is periodically intensified in the presence of those peculiar three-brained beings arising and existing on the planet Earth, a strange factor, producing from time to time in their presence a crescendo impulse, under the action of which they wish to find out at any cost whether they have descended from these apes or the apes have descended from them. Judging from the etherogram, this time the question is agitating chiefly the biped beings who breed on the continent called America. Although this question always troubles them somewhat, every once in a while it becomes, for a long time, as they express it, the burning question of the day. I remember very well that this agitation of mind over the origin of the apes occurred among them for the first time when their center of culture, as they also like to express it, was the country of Tikliamish. The starting point of this agitation of mind was the wiseacring of a certain learned being of new formation named Manickel. This Manickel became a learned being because, in the first place, his childless aunt was an excellent matchmaker and mixed a great deal with power-possessing beings, and because, in the second place, at the age when he was on the threshold of being a responsible being, he was given, as a birthday present, a book entitled Manual of Bon Ton and Love Letter Writing. As he was financially secure, therefore quite free, thanks to an inheritance from his uncle, a former pawnbroker, he compiled, out of boredom, a massive and erudite work about the origin of these apes, in which he cooked up an elaborate theory, supported by all kinds of logical proof, but of course such logical proof as can be conceived and crystallized only in the reason of those freaks who have taken your fancy. This Manickel then proved, by his theory, that their fellow countrymen, the apes, were descended from none other than people who had, as they say, reverted to savagery. The other terrestrial beings of that period, as had already become proper to them, believed implicitly this auntie's darling, without any essence criticism whatsoever, and from that time on this question, agitating the strange reason of your favorites, became the subject of disputes and fantasies, right up until what is called the seventh great planetary process of reciprocal destruction. Thanks to this maleficent idea, there was fixed in the instincts of most of the unfortunates of that period another abnormal dominating factor, which engendered in their common presence the false feeling that these ape beings were sacred. And this factor, which engendered such a sacrilegious impulse, passing by heredity from generation to generation, has reached the instincts of many beings, even of the present time. As for the false notion cooked up by that pawn shop progeny, it held its ground for nearly two of their centuries and became an integral part of the reason of most of them. but due to various events growing out of the seventh planetary process of reciprocal destruction, which lasted nearly half a century, it gradually faded away and completely disappeared from their common presence. But when their so-called cultured existence became concentrated on the continent of Europe, and when the time again came around for that peculiar disease known as wiseacring to manifest itself with maximum intensity, for this disease, by the way, had long before become subject to the fundamental cosmic law of Heptapara Parshanak, according to which its intensity had to fluctuate with a certain periodicity, then to the grief of three brain beings of the whole universe, that ape question, or who is descended from whom, once more arose, and having become crystallized, again became part of the abnormal reason of your favorites. In this instance also, the ape question arose from the stimulus given by a learned being, of course again a great one, but of an altogether new formation, by the name of Darwin. This great scientist, basing his theory on that same logic of theirs, set about proving exactly the opposite of what Manetho had said. That is, he proved that it was they themselves who were descended from these Mr. Apes. As for the objective reality of either of the theories of these great terrestrial learned beings, I am reminded of one of the wise sayings of our esteemed Mullah Nasruddin. Luck smiled on them both, for they both managed to find the authentic godmother of the incomparable Scheherazade on an old dunghill. In any case, bear in mind that for many centuries this question, among others just as ephemeral, has provided material for the kind of thinking your favorites consider the highest manifestation of reason. In my opinion, your favorites could get a correct answer to this question that always agitates them, of how the apes arose, if only they really knew how to apply another of the maxims of our dear Mullah Nasruddin, who often used to say, "The cause of every misunderstanding must be sought in woman." If they had made use of this wise maxim to resolve their enigmatic question, perhaps they would have finally discovered the origin of these fellow countrymen of theirs.